book of Proverbs, chapter 19. We want to read verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the great love wherewith he loved us. We thank you for this time of year when we think of his coming into the world, the seed of the woman, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. We pray that you would help us in this season to keep our focus upon him. We ask you to help us as we study your word for a few moments together tonight, that we might learn and see the things that you would have us to see. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For the last couple of messages in our series on the way things ought to be, we've talked about what we might call Christian education in the church and the need for children to be in these meetings when we gather as a congregation to hear the Word of God preached and taught. And we saw from the first time that we have the word service mentioned in the Bible as a gathering of God's people, that first time being in the Passover service. We saw that our children are not going to understand everything that is said. They're not going to understand all of the message that is in the symbolism of that service. And we know that because the Lord told his people that their children would ask them, "What mean ye by this service?" And that would give the parents the opportunity to talk to their children and teach their children. And this wouldn't be a one-time occurrence. Every time the Passover would be observed, there would be questions. Every time the law of God was read, all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law, there would be questions. And as these children heard the word of God and asked their questions and heard the answers to those questions, the word of God would be unto them, as we read in Isaiah 28 and verse 13, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon that line, here a little and there a little. So that these children, which have not known anything, might hear and learn to fear the Lord. This is the pattern for teaching our children in the local church. But what do we do after those meetings? What do we do in between those gatherings? That question is important because of the verse that is our text tonight. Proverbs 19:27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. Notice who God is talking to here. He says, cease, my son. God is speaking to his children, those who are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And the Lord tells his people 3,000 years ago that there is instruction, there is education that is dangerous. There's education that is to be avoided because it will cause those who hear it, even his children, to err from the words of knowledge. God is telling us 3,000 years ago that there is instruction that is diametrically opposed to his word. This instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge is exactly the kind of instruction that we see in Genesis chapter 11. We aren't going to turn back there again tonight. But we talked this morning about the number of times in verses 1 through 9 of that chapter We talked about how we find the words language and speech 6 times in just 9 verses. And there are a number of lessons that can be drawn from the mention of those words. One is certainly about the power of government to seek to control language and speech. But another lesson is that language and speech are at the very heart of education and learning. Children learn in school through communication. And that's what language and that's what speech is. It's communication. We've talked about the 4th verse of Genesis chapter 11 and how those people wanted to build a city and a tower. That word tower is a word that has several meanings beside the obvious one. That word also refers to an elevated stage. It refers to a pulpit. In fact, the only time that we find the word pulpit in the Bible, in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 4, that word pulpit there is the same word that is translated tower in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4. And that's the meaning that is instructive, I think, for you and me. A pulpit is a place for public speaking. It's a place for teaching. It's a place for preaching the gospel. And that's what's so important about that tower in Genesis 11:4. Because it tells us that there was a gospel being preached in Babel. But it wasn't the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was the gospel of secular humanism. The gospel that man is the measure of all things. The gospel that you can build a city, you can build a tower, you can build a life, and you can do it all without God. The educational system that we find in Babel there in Genesis chapter 11 is one that is set up to teach religion. One that was set up to teach the students in those schools through one language and one speech. Because no other language and no other speech and therefore no other ideas were going to be tolerated. This educational system was set up to teach the message of globalism and humanism. This is what we find in the first mention of Babel or Babylon in the Bible. Now, I'd like for you to turn over to Daniel chapter 1, if you will. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, and we want to begin reading at verse 1. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace. Now notice these next words. And whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. Here we are nearly 1,650 years removed from Nimrod and the founding of Babylon. And what we see is that the purpose of the educational system of Babylon hasn't changed. The purpose was not to teach and impart to the students true wisdom and true knowledge. Now, the educational system of Babylon had one thing and one thing only that it wanted to teach. And we see it there at the end of verse 4. They wanted to teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The word tongue means language. That takes us back to Genesis chapter 11, doesn't it? The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And the one language in one speech from the Tower of Education in Babylon in Genesis chapter 11 and here in Daniel chapter 1 is globalism and secular humanism. That was the goal of the educational system in Babylon then. And it's the goal to impart that knowledge. It's the goal of the educational system in Babylon today. I want to read you something. I've read it to you before, and I think others have read it. But it's good to be reminded of it again. During the 1973 International Educational Seminar, Harvard psychiatrist Chester M. Pierce spoke as an expert in public education. He was a professor. I think he died just a couple of years ago. He was a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. He was a professor of education at Harvard. Dr. Pierce said in his address to these educators that every child in America entering school at the age of 5 is mentally ill because he comes to school with certain allegiances to our founding fathers, toward our elected officials, toward his parents, toward a belief in a supernatural being, and toward the sovereignty of this nation as a separate entity. It's up to you as teachers to make all these sick children well by creating the international child of the future. Dr. Pierce makes it very plain, that the purpose of public education in this country is not to impart true wisdom and true knowledge. The purpose is to teach the language and speech and the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The purpose is to teach globalism, secular humanism. This is the instruction that the Lord is talking about here in back in Proverbs 19:27. This is the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. And this is exactly the kind of instruction that Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were going to get in Babylon. Now, I want you to think about something. Here in this chapter, when Daniel and his friends arrived in Babylon from Judah, the Babylonians knew that they arrived there with certain beliefs. They knew that they arrived there with a belief in one God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Their names even conveyed this message. Daniel means God is my judge. Hananiah means God has favored. Mishael means who is what God is. And Azariah means Jehovah has helped. So the Babylonians knew that these young men arrived there in Babylon with this belief in God. These children of Judah arrived in Babylon from a nation that was one nation under God. These children came to Babylon having been taught that they were to love the Lord their God, not government, not the king, but the God of heaven, with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. These children arrived in Babylon having been taught the words of God, His law, His covenants, His promises. They arrived in Babylon with an understanding and with a love of individual liberty. Because the Lord had brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. He had brought them forth from the house of bondage. These children arrived in Babylon with an understanding that they were not citizens of the world, but citizens of a sovereign nation, a land that God had given to them, a land with borders, borders that went from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. These children arrived in Babylon with a regard, with a knowledge, with a love for their history and the history of God's dealing with them and the men that God had worked through to establish and bless their nation. Those men were their fathers. the fathers of the nation. And they honored them. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and so on. These young men arrived in Babylon with a warning not to forget their history. Proverbs 22 and verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. And finally, and most importantly, these children arrived in Babylon with the knowledge that God would provide himself a lamb, the Lamb of God. And that, as concerning the flesh, that lamb, Christ, would come through their nation. This is the knowledge that these children arrived in Babylon with. And these are the things that had to be removed from their minds. And the Babylonians had a program for doing that. We see it there in verse 4 of chapter 1. Their program was to take these children whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the details of the program are here. The details of how they were going to, Chester M. Pierce put it, make all these sick children well. The details of how they were going to go about that are there in verse 5. The king appointed them a daily provision. I want you to notice that word daily in verse 5. A daily provision. Wasn't weekly. Wasn't monthly. He appointed them a daily provision. It was a daily provision of the king's meat. One of the things that meat speaks to us of in the Bible is personal desire. And in the context here, Daniel and his friends were going to be nourished. It was the plan of the Babylonians for them to grow in the personal desire of the king. The king decided the curriculum. The king decided what would be taught. Nothing else was going to be tolerated. But it was not just the king's meat. But it was also of the wine which he drank. Wine in this context speaks to us of the intoxicating ideas of Satan. And all of this was designed to teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans to the end that these children who the Babylonians considered sick because of the knowledge that they arrived there with, so that these sick children could be made well through their Babylonian education, and they could conform to the Babylonian system. This is the instruction that God says causes to err from the words of knowledge. This is the instruction in our public schools. It's going on every day. It's the instruction that seeks to destroy the allegiance to our founding fathers and toward our system of government, toward our Constitution. Brother Jed Taylor sent me an email the other day from the Heritage Foundation. Some of you probably get their emails. But the article was titled, How Americans Have Almost Entirely Forgotten Their History. How Americans Have Almost Entirely Forgotten Their History. And it goes through and it gives statistics of how many Americans born and raised and educated in this country cannot pass the citizenship test. It's very sad. And it's not by accident. It's not by accident. And as we learn from the Babylonians and from Dr. Pierce, it's their design. It's their design. The instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge is the instruction that seeks to undermine parental authority and replace it with the child's own authority. Some of you are in for an interesting day when you take your 18-year-old child to the doctor. I'll go ahead and tell you, they don't want to talk to you. The doctors don't. They want to talk to the child. I'll tell you what I told one doctor. I think it was the eye doctor. you better talk to me, because he does not have one penny. He's got no money. And I'm going to be the one that has to pay the bill and buy the glasses and pay for all these things. So you better talk to me. Just wanted to let you know that. But it's a rather shocking thing when you go with your child to the doctor and you find out they're regarded as an adult. It's this idea of replacing parental authority with the child's own authority and the authority of government over that child. The instruction that calls it to err from the words of knowledge is the instruction that seeks to remove a belief in God, in His Word, and replace it with a belief in man as the measure of all things, with a belief in Darwinian evolution. The instruction that calls it to err from the words of life is the instruction that seeks to take away patriotism and a love for our nation. Take away the idea of this nation's sovereignty and replace it with a belief in this globalism and a nation that has no borders. A nation that's not any more exceptional than any other nation in the world. This is exactly what God is commanding. Commanding, not suggesting, but commanding that His people cease to hear. And Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday night service, 4 hours a week maximum, is not to be the end of Christian education in the lives of our children. There's another quote that I'd like to remind you of. It comes from a former Baptist and then turned Unitarian preacher by the name of Charles Potter. He founded the First Humanist Society of New York in 1929. And in 1930, he wrote these words in Humanism, a New Religion. That was the title of his article. And by the way, the Supreme Court would later agree with Mr. Potter's description of humanism as a religion. But Mr. Potter said, "Education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism. And every American public school is a school of humanism. What can the theistic Sunday schools, meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children, do to stem the tide of a 5-day program of humanistic teaching?" You know, the words of God from Proverbs 19:27, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of life or from the words of knowledge." The words of Mr. Pierce, the words of Mr. Potter, those ought to be enough to stir every pastor in Bible-believing churches in this country to take the stand that it's a sin for a Christian parent to send their children to a public school. And to further stir them up to start a Christian school in their area if there isn't one. Or if there's already a Christian school established and operating that stands for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, as they do, then they should encourage the parents in their church to send their children to that Christian school. There's no need to try and reinvent the wheel just for the sake of having something hammered on their anvil. But I want to go back to Mr. Potter's words for just a minute. In 1930, he defines the battle. But really, the battle goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 11. That's where the battle is first defined. And the battle is between public education and the people of God. The people of God there in Genesis chapter 11 who had left the pattern of the Word of God. And they and their children were part of that system there. Just as Christians and their children today have left the pattern of the Word of God and are part of this Babylonian educational system. And Mr. Potter says that the church is losing. And the church is losing on two fronts: time and numbers. On time, he says the public schools are winning because they meet 5 days a week. And the Sunday school only meets for an hour one time a week. And so 35 hours a week of a program of humanistic teaching compared to 1 hour a week of biblical teaching, or 4 hours at the most, as we mentioned a few moments ago, is a victory for the humanists in the battle for time with our children. And notice that word program in his statement. It should stand out to us, because it suggests an organized plan, an organized curriculum. That word program that Mr. Potter mentions, education is thus the most powerful ally of humanism. Every American public school is a school of humanism. What can the theistic Sunday schools, meeting for an hour once a week and teaching only a fraction of the children, do to stem the tide of a 5-day program of humanistic teaching? That word program that he mentions is the equivalent of this daily provision that we're reading about here in the educational system of Babylon. It's the equivalent of the daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank there in verse 5. That's the daily provision. That's the 5-day program of humanistic teaching in our public school system. So Mr. Potter says that the church is losing on time. And he says that the church is losing on numbers. The church is losing the battle on numbers. And we are. 55 million children somewhere in that neighborhood are in the public education system in America. It's a pretty overwhelming number. But there's a number that is much more disturbing than that. And that is somewhere between 80 and 90% of Christians are part of that 55 million. 80 to 90% of Christians send their children to public schools. 90% of the sons of God are being disobedient to the command of Proverbs 19:27. And they're every day, 5 days a week, they're allowing their children to hear the instruction that causeth the error from the words of knowledge. And those children, and we're already seeing it, those children, churches are already being affected by the past 2 or 3 generations of children from Christian homes and Christian churches who were sent to the public school and they were indoctrinated in the philosophy of Babylon and the philosophy of secular humanism there in the public schools. And those children are now adults. And guess where some of them are? They're in leadership positions in churches, in Bible-believing churches. And they have brought with them the very philosophy into those churches, the very philosophy of humanism, the very philosophy of Babylon. That very philosophy is filling the churches of Jesus Christ. I'll give you an example. Recently, I heard of a Bible preaching church that formed a committee to oversee a building project that was being proposed. And one of the men on the committee, and let me just remind you of what you know, that the people on these committees are not casual members of these churches. They are the leaders in the church. That's how they're looked upon. One of the men on the committee commented that with the amount of money that they were talking about spending, they could build a Christian school. One of the other men immediately spoke up and said, "Christian schools are a waste of time and money. Christian schools are a waste of time and money." This is exactly the mindset that has infected and is infecting so many Bible-believing churches. And you know where this man brought this philosophy from? I'll give you an opinion. I suspect it's from his days in the public school system. And I suspect it's from his children's days in the public school system of this country. And the idea of, we've got this wonderful system. Why? We're already paying for it. We pay our taxes. We pay our property taxes. You get your tax statement from the county and it breaks it down. And so much of it goes for education. And now they're passing bonds. They're passing quarter cent sales increases. We're already paying for the public schools. Why would we come over here and take money and build a Christian school? What an ignorant point of view that is. What an anti-biblical point of view that is. The Church of Jesus Christ has left the pattern for the education of our children. They've left the pattern in churches. We've talked about children's church and the dangers of that. They've left the pattern for training and teaching our children, educating our children. And that pattern is that the church is responsible not only for the education of our children in services on Sunday and Wednesday, but the church is responsible. The church, the local church, is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's responsible for a 5-day program of Christian education. Education that's based on the Word of God in every class. I hope you realize what a blessing Calvary Christian School is. What a blessing it is to be able to, 5 days a week, 5 days a week, 7 or so hours a day, in every class, teach our children the truth of the Word of God. We aren't through talking about this, but there's more to talk about than we can cover in one message. But we've left the pattern. The church has left the pattern. And they're sending their children off to the very place to bring back the germ of apostasy. And it's affecting churches all over this country. We need to be aware of this. I know many of you think, listen, we heard this same kind of messages 40 years ago, and you sure did. But we have young people coming along, and they need to think about these things. They need to understand these things from the Word of God, because they're going to be the leaders of this church one day. One day, and not in the not too distant future, the Lord hasn't come back. That's why we're thinking about these things and talking about them and looking at them from the Word of God. Father, we thank you for this precious book. We thank you that it is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We thank you that your Spirit works through this book. This book that he's written, this book that he's inspired, this book that he's preserved to say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And we pray that you would give